is continually dialoguing with the Jewish leaders and with the Jewish people and pointing to them, letting them know who he is. Because it's important that Jesus wants us to know who he is. He wants you to know him, because when we know him, we love him. When we love him, we understand that we serve him. Jesus Christ wants you to know him. Jesus Christ wants us as his followers to know him so that we can share him with other people. Christ came so that we may know him. So as you find John chapter 10, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. As we find John chapter 10, you can find it on your in the Bible, on your iPad or your iPhone or what type of phone, but John chapter 10, as we read a couple of verses, and then we're going to explain these verses and see more about Jesus Christ, our good shepherd and savior. John chapter 10, verse 1 reads, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they would not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. The very words of God. You may be seated. Father, help us today as we open your words, open our eyes of our hearts to the truth of who you are, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of you, and that we may live in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is still having this dialogue with the Pharisees and with the Jewish leaders, and this comes on the heels of after he's already opened the eyes of the blind man, as we saw last week. He's opened the eyes of the blind man. The blind man has been cast out of the synagogue. He's left alone by himself, probably excited but depressed because he's been rejected by those who should have really been receiving him. So much so that even his own mom and dad did not stand with him for fear of the Jews. They pretty much said he's of age, he can speak for himself. Not out of a sense of confidence in himself, but really to say, we're not going to join with him in saying that Jesus Christ opened his eyes and that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He can speak for himself. So he's out walking by himself. On this day, which should have been a day of rejoicing, he has been rejected. But yet the scripture says in verse 35, Jesus, and in chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And Jesus found him. In other words, Jesus went looking for him. And he found him. And he asked him a couple of questions. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Right there we see Jesus going to get one of his sheep. The shepherd found his sheep. And if you're here today, if you belong to Jesus Christ, I want you to know you did not find Jesus. Jesus found you. He found you. He rescued you. And it's so amazing. And when we understand that, then we understand that we're more apt to praise and glorify Jesus for who he is. And we're more bold to proclaim and say, Lord, I believe in you. And so as we now come to the point now that the Pharisees, they're upset. And Jesus says, no, pretty much, you're blind spiritually. And they're upset with that. That Jesus would say to them, you are blind spiritually. Because the fact that you're saying that you see who I am, because they say, we know who you are, and we know that you're not the Messiah, you're not the Son of God, he says your blindness remains. Because you're saying you see, and you have made the decision that you're saying, I am not the Messiah, the Son of God. He says your blindness remains. Or your guilt remains. Do you know that people don't go to hell because of their sins? People go to hell because they reject the Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for their sins. Because God, the Bible says that God wished that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. But no one would go to heaven apart from faith in Jesus Christ. No one. So we see the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, going after his sheep. No. I would think, where's his mom and dad at when it's going on? Where's mom and dad? I mean, kid, now think about this picture as a mother. You are a mother and a father, and here's what your son has been born blind from birth. You know it. His eyes are open. He can see. You would think, listen, I don't care what's happening. I'm going to get my son, and I'm going to say, hey, if Jesus save you, we're going to shout it out. They didn't go. They did not come after him. Jesus did. And what I want to say about this is also not, is not on your sermon outline. There's a very real chance that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you will be rejected by other people. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that some of your own enemies will be in your own household that will reject you for your faith in Jesus Christ. But I'm so glad that even though I am rejected by man, I am received by the Son of Man. Amen. And that's good news. That the shepherd comes and gets his sheep. And so Jesus now begins to talk about himself as being the shepherd. And so we're going to look at today a couple of things with points. First of all, we're going to look at the description of the shepherd. We're going to look at the description of the shepherd. Now I want you to know that when Jesus makes these descriptions about himself, he's speaking about his person and his purpose. And the first thing he says, and I'm going to give you a theological statement. Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. He is no ordinary man. Now, the blind man, when he first started out, remember what he said? The man Jesus. The man Jesus spit, made some mud pies, put it on my face, told me, the man Jesus. But you can't get to heaven with that. No, you got to go deeper than the man Jesus. And that's why I'm always careful when people, let me say this, we should never be careful with Jesus, the man upstairs. I don't know who that is. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the man upstairs, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just a mere man. He's just no ordinary man. He is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says he is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, when we think about this shepherd and sheep thing, sheep were pretty much, listen, they were defenseless. They needed to depend upon the shepherd. And do you know also that even in Jesus' day, that shepherds were not really highly looked up to? They were not the respectful people. It wasn't the occupation that everyone did. Say, oh, those are shepherds. Because shepherds were mainly loners by themselves. They talked to sheep. You know, shepherds talk to dumb sheep. Shepherd would talk to sheep, dummies. And do you know that when Jesus Christ, and it's amazing to me that when God wanted to proclaim to the world that the Messiah was born, who did he first tell it to? Shepherds. Out in the field with their sheep. God declared to shepherds that the chief shepherd was coming, was born. Jesus Christ. And they left their sheep and went to see the shepherd. So when Jesus says, I am the shepherd of the sheep, he is saying, point one is this, Jesus is the Messiah and King of Israel. Jesus is the Messiah and King of Israel. Now, in Israel's day, they understood that shepherd terminology. In Psalm 23, King David said himself, the Lord is my shepherd. He was the king. And what King David was saying, that the Lord is my shepherd, and what the people of Israel looked at, they looked at King David as being their shepherd, the king who shepherded over the house of Israel, the one who was to protect and was to provide. The king protected and provided for the nation. And what King David is saying, just like I provide and protect the nation of Israel, and you call me your shepherd, I want you to know that the Lord is my shepherd. And if the Lord is my shepherd, then he ultimately should be your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. And he's talking about that as seeing, and Jesus pointing back to that as shepherd terminology, saying, I am the shepherd of the sheep, the true shepherd of the sheep, the Messiah and the King. Now, we're going to see that over and over again as you read John chapter 10, especially next week, because what Jesus said to them, he's telling them, I am the anointed one. I am the one that the prophets spoke about. I am here. I am the Messiah. I am here. I am the King of Israel. But yet they did not recognize him. Do you know that it says, again, look at verse 1. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus says that I'm coming right through the door to get my sheep. I come through the door. And he said that, and the gatekeeper opens the door for the true shepherd. Now, in a real sense, that gatekeeper can be God the Father. In other words, the gatekeeper can be God the Father, and God the Father is saying, when he said in Matthew 4, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He's saying, he's authenticating, this is the Messiah, this is my Son, this is the shepherd of the sheep, he's here. And the gatekeeper sees it and lets him go into the sheep pen. And then it says also, and the shepherd goes in, and it says he does something when he goes into the sheep pen. What does he do when he goes into the sheep pen? Now, that sheep pen can be the nation of Israel. And he says that, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his sheep, his own sheep. Now he said, now all the sheep, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then it says he leads them out. Then he goes, not behind them, he goes in front of them. So he's leading from the front. And they follow him, for they know his voice. And that's why we say that our mission is simply here beyond the walls, is leading people to follow Jesus Christ. It's biblical. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, I call my own, I bring them out, I go before them, and they follow me, and they will not follow a voice of a stranger. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, the King of Israel. He's known by his sheep. He knows his sheep. He leads his sheep. Sheep follow him. That's a personal, intimate relationship. That's why we always say you need to have a personal relationship with God. Personal. Is Jesus Christ your shepherd? Can you say what David said? The Lord is my shepherd. That's personal. I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in what? Green pastures. He leads me beside what? Still waters. He restores my soul. That's good stuff. He's talking about his shepherd. And that shepherd is Jesus. And that's why we're so excited about Jesus Christ, our good shepherd and Savior, because he is the Messiah, the King of Israel. And if he's your king, you have everything you need. It's in Jesus. You have everything that you need because it's in Jesus. I shall not want for anything. We have all that we need. It's Jesus. Verse 5 says, and a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. For they did not know the voice of strangers. Do you know the voice of God? always say this all the time. I say that when we talk about discipling people, and I want to tell you something as your pastor, anybody you're going to mentor, so you say, yeah, I'm going to mentor this person. I want to mentor this person. I'm going to tell you what you should mentor somebody to do, not to follow you, to follow Jesus Christ. And the first lesson you want to teach those sheep is to discern the voice of the shepherd. You want to teach those sheep how to hear the voice of the shepherd, because my Bible says that the sheep know his voice and they follow him. I want you to know there are a lot of voices out there clamoring for your allegiance. And if you don't know the voice of the shepherd, you'd be all over the place, going every which way. And see, I want you to understand also, we got to stop praying these prayers, Lord, open the door. No, listen, when you become a shepherd of the sheep, I'm going through the door that he's walking through. Because he walked through, I'm right behind him. Because I'm following him. Amen. And there are many Christians that do not know the voice of God, cannot discern the voice of Jesus. You ask them, where is God taking you? What is God saying to you? You say, well, I don't know. What are you telling you, Pastor? But you should know what God's leading you. You should know what God is saying to you. We need to discern the voice of God. And it says that when Jesus said this in verse 6, when he said to them this, they had no clue what he was talking about. They said, well, this figure of language, we don't understand what he's saying. So verses 7 through 18 is Jesus breaking down verses 1 through 6 even more. So look what he says in verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Stop right there. Jesus says, I am the door. And your outline is this: Jesus Christ is the entrance to eternal life. I am the door of the sheep means Jesus Christ is the entrance to eternal life. All who came before me are thieves, he says, false messiahs. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we'll go in and out and find pasture. That's why we say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. Jesus said this. Jesus made this claim. So I am the door. Not many doors. There's one door. And I'm it. I am the door. The entrance. Jesus says, I am the access to God the Father. Nobody will enter the kingdom of heaven except through Jesus Christ. Now, Herbert Locker says about this, he says that as the door, Jesus himself preserves and protects his sheep, and they go in and out and find pasture. Entering through Christ, we find salvation, service, and sustenance. We enter through Jesus, one way, one door. So we think about that. And not only when we enter through this door as a sheep, we find life. And not just any old type of life. Jesus explains the life that we enter into. He says that in verse 10, he came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The abundant life. See, eternal life is not only speaks of quantity of life, but quality of life. We cannot experience life the way God intended apart from Jesus Christ. You have not begun to live until you have entered into the life Jesus has for you. People who are unbelievers, they are the walking dead. They haven't really begun to live until they enter in through the door, Jesus Christ. And that life is the abundant life. And please understand me, the abundant life does not just mean about, okay, I'm going to have abundance of money, material things. No, it's not about abundant, more money, more material things where thieves can come in and steal. See, the abundant life that God has for you is no man can give it to you and no man can steal it. The abundant life does not come from a person. It comes from God, not a human being. So we understand that. What Jesus is saying to us, that he's given us a life beyond our wildest dreams, the abundant life. He says, but there's a thief out there who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Now you may think, well, that thief he's talking about is the devil. You might assume that's who he's talking about. Now you know the devil is a liar, but Jesus would say the devil is a liar. But I think more pointedly in purpose that he is looking at the thieves that he's talking about, the Pharisees. He's calling them thief. They come to steal, kill, and to destroy. Because the Pharisees are assuming the position of they've been self-appointed as the religious leaders of the day. And yet they are persecuting a man born blind who had his sight given to him, and they have kicked him out of the pen, saying, because you are saying that your shepherd is Jesus. Get out of here. They're thieves. They're taking glory for themselves. They're destroying people. Jesus Christ doesn't do that. He comes and gives you life. See, why wouldn't you follow a God like that? That says, I want to give you salvation. I want to provide for you. I want to protect you. Many people reject that. But a sheep wouldn't do that. Because a sheep knows I'm totally dependent upon the shepherd. Of my own self, I am hopeless and helpless. I need a shepherd. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. Are you living the abundant life that God has for you? Jesus says, I'm the shepherd of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And he says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Now, Jesus Christ, when he says, I'm the good shepherd, Jesus Christ is God, the source of life. I'm the good shepherd. Now, in Israel's day, there were some bad shepherds. You can read about them in Jeremiah chapter 23, Ezekiel 34. There were some bad shepherds. And they abused the flock. They used the flock for their own self-aggrandizement. They used them for their own profit. They cared nothing for the sheep. They just used the sheep for themselves. They didn't care. They abused the sheep. And God says, I am going to bring a shepherd after my own heart, and he's going to lead my sheep. I'm going to choose my own shepherd, and he's going to lead my sheep. And that shepherd is Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd. I'm the one that David spoke about. I'm the one that Ezekiel prophesied about. I'm the one that Jeremiah spoke about. I am now that good shepherd. I'm here to take care of the sheep. Jesus Christ is God, the source of life. Look at verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd in contrast to this hireling. Now, I want you to know now that the word hireling is not a bad word in and of itself. They had hirelings, that people that came and took care of the sheep, because what the shepherd would do, he would bring his sheep into the pen, and they'd enter to one door. He'd bring them in for the night, and he would hire a guy, say, okay, listen, I'm going to do my business in town. I'm going to go spend the night somewhere. So I want you to watch over my sheep while I'm gone. I'm going to go and here's some money. take care of my sheep. Hiring said, okay, that's what a hireling does. But what the hireling wouldn't do, if danger came, if it would cost him his life, sheep are on their own. I mean, that brother's running. He's gone. I'm not listening. I'm not giving my life for you now. I might, if things are okay, cool. But it gets tough and rough, I'm throwing up the deuces. Peace. I'm out of here. And Jesus is saying, compared to the hireling, see, I'm a good shepherd. I laid out my life for the sheep. And there are many people who claim to be people that are to protect God's sheep, but they're in it for the money. They care nothing for the sheep. It's all about what they can get out of the sheep. They constantly shearing the sheep. Turn around, taking the clippers to them. It's all about them. And I believe that the hireling can represent religious leaders. Now, I want you to know that a hireling does not own the sheep. They're not his. But he has stewardship over someone else's property. See, all of us at some point are hirelings. What I mean by that is that we don't own what we have. God's the owner, we're the manager of it. Like, you don't own your children. You don't own them. God owns your children. He gave you his parents to steward them. Now, you can be a good parent, you can be a bad parent. You can be, don't care nothing about these kids. But God wants you to take care of them and point them back to him. But let's break it down to a more of religious nature. And I always say this, and I'm truthful. You don't belong to me. You're not my sheep. You're Jesus' sheep. He's your shepherd. He's your chief shepherd. He's your shepherd. Now, what he's called me to do is to be a hireling. Now, again, the word hireling is not a bad word. It was an occupation. Because we think, man, that's a bad word. Hireling. But no, the word is not bad. It's the what the motivation, what that hireling did. He saw sheep coming. What did he do? Ran. So now I'm going to give you an example of a good hireling or a good shepherd, under shepherd. David, King David. Before he became king, he was a shepherd. And he talked about when he was getting ready to go kill Goliath, he said, I'm going to kill this Goliath because he's talking about my God and nobody talks about my God and I can hear it. And they said to David, who do you think you are? You're a little run. Wait, this guy going to kill you. He said, no, he's not. As a matter of fact, I used to watch my father's sheep. And when one of the sheep would go away, and he said a lion or a bear would come and snatch one up, he said, I would go after the bear, and I would grab him by his tail, and he would let the sheep go. And he said, and then if he turned and came after me, I would fight him and kill him. So David says, I have killed a lion and a bear. Why? For my daddy's sheep. What David's saying now, the sheep weren't mine, they were my father's. But I had such a relationship for my father and love for him that if he lost something, I lost something. And I was going to give my life for my daddy's sheep. And I killed lion and I killed bear for my daddy's sheep. Don't mess with my dad's sheep. I'll kill you. Now that's a good hireling, right? He gave his life. And so what he's saying for us who are pastors and people who are religious leaders, we are to take care of God's people and be willing to kill somebody if they mess with them for God's sheep. So you don't belong to me. You belong to Jesus Christ. He tells me you are an under-shepherd, and I want you to take care of my sheep. And when danger comes, I want you to run. I want you to stand up there and cut the devil's head off if need be. But we don't do it for money. We do it out of love. For the shepherd. But the hireling didn't do that. He said, these are my sheep. I'm out of here. And that's what 1 Peter says to us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, it says, shepherd the sheep of God. Not as dictators, not as lording over the people. And when you're faithful, the chief shepherd will give you a reward. So what God is saying, Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am God, the source of life. And that's why the best I can do is tell you this. Follow me as I follow Christ. Just follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, please don't follow me. You keep it moving with Jesus. Okay? Because he's your, ultimately, our shepherd. I'm just an under-shepherd. And God's going to judge my ministry about what do you do with those sheep when danger comes? What did you do when you saw danger? How did you treat them? What did you do? And so we want to be faithful to what God's called us to do. And Jesus was faithful. He gave his life for his sheep. So our second point is this. We want to talk about the devotion of the shepherd. The devotion of the shepherd. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's why I say our good shepherd and Savior. Jesus Christ is a Savior, not just of the Jews, but of the world. And now, let me prove it to you by the scriptures. Look at verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. My own know me. Just as my Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Jesus, look at Jesus' devotion. Now, it's one thing to say, you know what, I care about you. It really is. I care about you. But it's another thing to say, I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to die for you. That's taking a whole other level. And Jesus said, greater love than this, than no man to lay down his life for a friend. Jesus gave his life for us. And he voluntarily gave his life. That's letter A. He voluntarily gave his life for the sheep. He said, no one takes it from me. No one took Jesus' life. He surrendered it. He gave it. That's a volunteer. He voluntarily gave his life. Now, many of us, when we get ready to die, we are not going to voluntarily die. We're going to go kicking and screaming. Not yet, Jesus. You're not going to voluntarily go. Jesus went voluntarily to the cross. It says that as a sheep before his shears, he did what? Opened not his mouth. He went voluntarily. You see, and Jesus, when he says this, it expresses, I mean, it really implies a self-sacrificing, you know, really perspective. Also, it also thinks about a substitutionary type of death. So I said this, number one, Jesus Christ, his death was substitutionary death. Now, it's not on the outline, but it's on your paper. His death was a substitutionary death. He died for the sheep. He gave his life for me. He took my place on the cross. That was a substitutionary death. He did that. There's a story, a book written by Helen Cooper, and the title of the book is The House of Sugar Beach. And she tells of the time, true story, during the Liberian Revolution, in which her house was broken into by soldiers. And these bloodthirsty soldiers took hold of a young Helen and her sister with the intent of gang raping them. However, their mother demanded that the soldiers release her. She said, leave my daughters alone. Let them go. In return, the mother said that they could take her. Now, these soldiers happily agreed. And they let Helen and her sister go. And the mother said, go into the bedroom. And she watched and heard those men rape her mother. Four soldiers. And she said, me and my sister heard my mother down there and heard them raping her. And she said, when her mother came back up, said nothing, took a shower. And she said to herself, my mother, I never doubted my mother's love after that. Because she allowed men to rape her to let us go free. What love is that? That a mother would do that. But what did Jesus do for you and I? The same thing. He took the cross. And that's why I'm saying to you and I that if Jesus did that for us, we should never doubt his love for us. We should never doubt that. And we should never be, and we should never not be willing to do anything that Jesus tells us to do. And what the problem is that most of us don't really see that Jesus did that for us. And when he tells you to do something, you really don't want to do it. You really don't care to do it. Because you believe in your mind, Jesus works for you. Jesus blessed me. Do this for me. I want this. Give me this. And God has said, I've given you the best that I have. I've given you my son. They killed him for you. How dare we make demands of a holy God when he has given us his best? And see, the sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. But also it says that the sheep obey the shepherd. The question for you, are you obeying Jesus and what he's told you to do? We got too many disobedient sheep that are claiming that Jesus is their shepherd. They're disobedient. And we wonder why our world is in chaos. Because Jesus' sheep are not minding him. Well, let me clarify that. Jesus said his sheep hear his voice and they obey him. So if you're not obeying Jesus, you're not following him, you're probably not his. Because Jesus says, my sheep hear me. They follow me. Jesus voluntarily gave his life. He obeyed his Father. God told Jesus to go down there and die on the cross, and Jesus did it. It was a sacrificial death. It was because Jesus loved God and loved us that he did it. See, this is a relationship that implies self-sacrifice. To follow Jesus will require some self-sacrifice on your behalf. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus to die on that cross. But he willingly did it for you and I. What is it that Jesus is telling you to do? You're not doing it. You won't do it. And you're making excuses for why you shouldn't obey your shepherd. Sheep don't do that. So not only was Jesus' death substitutionary, it was sacrificial death, and his death was a superior death. See, well, why was his death so superior? Because as Jesus says, he had the power to lay it down. He knew when he was going to die, how he was going to die, why he was going to die. And he told his disciples, now you know I'm going to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me. And he was okay with that. But his death was so superior because when he died, he didn't stay there. He got back up. On the third day, he got up. That's a good death. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to pick it back up. And God has given me the power, the authority to die and to get back up in 3 days. Now, that's a superior death. That's a powerful death. And his death not only covered the sins of Israel, it covered you and I. Says, do you know that we're in the Bible? I'm in there. I saw myself in this text and I shouted. I'm in here. You are too. Look what it says. I'm going to show you again. Look at verse 16. That's us. And I have other sheep. That's me. I'm the other. I have other sheep that are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Wow. He said, now I'm coming for Israel, but also I'm coming for the Gentiles too. I got some more sheep, and I'm going to get them. And they will hear my voice, and they will come, and they will follow me. It'd be one flock, one shepherd. That's us. Ephesians 2 talks about that. It says that, hey, we have been redeemed. We have been brought into the family of God. There is Jew and Gentile. And that we are one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. One God, right? We in here. So you are in this text. And I'm telling you, that's why it's so important that you and I need to go and preach the gospel, because we're preaching looking for the sheep. Because the sheep will hear his voice and they'll come. That's why you ain't got to beg folks to get saved. You ain't got to say, oh, will you please get saved? Or come on now, you know you need to get saved. No, you do that. The sheep hear the shepherd. And they come running. Matter of fact, I was watching this video, and it says that you got all these four shepherds lined up, whole bunch of sheep in the pen. The one shepherd stands up, makes a noise, and his sheep, out of all the sheep, come to him. Everybody else stays in the pen except his sheep. They come out, follow him, and he starts walking, and right behind him. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. Are you following Jesus today? Do you know his voice? Also, does he know? He said he called his sheep by name. He does. He knows your name. See, that's an intimate, personal relationship. He knows your name. Some of you give a nickname. Pookie. Come here, Pookie. Come here, Santa. He got you. That's good stuff. He knows you. Superior death. So letter B says, his death redeemed both Jews and Gentiles alike. Thank God for that. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that his blood reaches to the highest mountain and to the lowest valley. Thank God that Jesus Christ's blood is not just for Jews. It's for Gentiles. And that's why we say again that our mission is what? To be a gospel-centered church that loves God, right? So we should be a church that leads people to follow Jesus Christ, and we should be a church that reflects that, hey, we have many different sheep. They look differently. There might be some pink sheep, some brown sheep, some short sheep, some round sheep, but we, hey, one shepherd, amen? And so when you come into this place, you say, listen, I don't care if you're black, white, green, or purple. If you love Jesus, come on to the sheepfold. Amen. That's what it's about here. And that's what we want to do here, is tell people when they come into our church, to say, listen, we're about Jesus. Because he has redeemed us. That's the power that we have in Jesus, our good shepherd and savior. He redeemed us. So we've seen his description, his devotion, and now we're going to see the division. I want you to know there's a division when it comes to Jesus. Now, Jesus said there's a division, there's some sheep and there's some goats. There's sheep and there's goats. Matter of fact, Jesus said one time, he said, don't think that I came for peace. I came for division. I come to separate, families against one another. I mean, that's, woo. So here's a statement also. Sin blinds us to the reality of our spiritual condition. Now, these people are hearing Jesus talk, and Jesus is doing, he is telling it. And in verse 19, here's what they say. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? There's a division right there. Cutting to the quick. The Pharisees are blinded by their are blind to their spiritual condition. Letter A is this. Unless God opens the eyes of your heart, we would never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then you say, wait a minute, why did he say open my eyes? Why did he say the eyes of my heart? Because sin is a heart issue. It's a heart condition. The soul that sins, it should die. You have to come to understand who Jesus is and to go down deep into your soul. You have to confess Jesus Christ, believe in your heart who Jesus is. And unless God opens your eyes, the eyes of our heart, we would never come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So for your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers, yes, pray. Yes, proclaim Jesus as Lord. And we pray that their eyes will be open, the eyes of their heart. Because if it doesn't, they would never come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And these Jews were divided. Some say he is demon-possessed. He's crazy. Others say, wait a minute now. Demons ain't trying to help people. They're trying to kill people. I mean, he just opened the eyes of a blind man, come on. The man's right there. His eyes are open. And his words are so powerful. His words and his works testify and agree. Powerful words, powerful works. And I'm pretty sure that blind man was right there while it was going on. Ain't that something? The blind man is there. There's this conversation going. He's standing right there with the shepherd, and they're talking, and Jesus is just telling the truth. So what about you and I? Do you get afraid of division when it comes? Don't expect everybody to like you. And some of y'all need to hear that. Don't expect everybody to agree with you if you sold out for Jesus. Don't expect that. Now, this is another thing that's going to bother some of you, too. This is going to bother you. You better love your spouse, but you better love your spouse more than Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you love Jesus and your spouse don't love Jesus like you do, there's division. Some of you can say, amen, Pastor. I'm telling you. This guy said that he was a deacon at his church. Deacon, this guy was a chairman of the deacon board. But he didn't like Christians. Oh, my God. Chairman of the deacon board, doing the church stuff, doing the church thing. Then he moved somewhere else. And he says that, he said, man, I'm tired of that church, them church folks. But his wife, then, so he moves around this Christian college. And his wife, the neighbor is the pastor of the local church. And the wife comes over and talks to his wife. Hey, how you doing? We have a cup of tea. We want to invite you over. So the wife goes over to the pastor's wife's house, has some tea with some other women. They pray, and she comes back over to the house, a changed person. She has heard the voice of the shepherd. He said, man, my wife started getting up early in the morning praying, reading her Bible. It was like a 180. She just started. And he said, I didn't like that. I didn't like her doing that Jesus stuff. But he said something else that was so key. He said, but the one thing that I couldn't say that she was more loving. I mean, he said that, but she was more loving. He said, I didn't like the Jesus stuff, but she was more loving. And I liked that. I mean, I was liking that. But he said, it's called division in his house. Because he knew then that he was not number one in his wife's life anymore. He was second. But she was treating him well. Men, who's first in your life? Ladies, who's first in your life? Is it Jesus? Or is it your spouse? You say, what do you mean, who's first? I'm going to tell you what I mean by first. If your spouse didn't go to church, would you stay home? If your spouse stopped reading their Bible, would you stop too? If your spouse said, I don't believe in Jesus anymore, would you say, well, you know, okay, well, we can just chill and watch a little, you know. Or would you say, honey, I wish you would go to church with me, but I know you're not, I understand you're not going. I'm going to pray for you while I'm going to church. And I'll see you when I get back. I love you, but see you when I get back. Some people wouldn't do that. Jesus wants us to trust him, and it will cause division in your home. Shouldn't, but division is what we sold out for Jesus, caused problems. So what was the issue with the religious leaders? What was their spiritual condition? Jesus said they were spiritually blind. John 9:40-41, you're blind. Then he says they are thieves and robbers. John 10:1, you're thieves and robbers. Then he said you're wicked hirelings. John 10, so you're blind, you're a thief and a robber, and you're wicked. That was their condition. And they got mad when Jesus healed a blind man. As we close today, go back to that story of that mother giving herself for her children. Now, many of you say, yeah, I would do that for my kid. I would do that. Jesus did it for you. And my conclusion is that Jesus Christ has come as a good shepherd to redeem his sheep from sin and death. Will you respond to his voice today? Will you respond to his voice today? If you do, you will receive life and more than you could ever imagine. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Jesus is clear. As a shepherd, when he speaks, his sheep hear his voice. And I wonder if you're here today, and what has the shepherd said to you? What has he said to you? If you're not a Christian today and you don't know Jesus Christ, he's telling you, come home. He's come to rescue you. He says, come. I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you life, the abundant life. Will you come today? With every head bowed and eye closed, I don't want to assume that everybody in here is saved. I don't want to assume that. So as the choir is coming up, every eye is closed and head bowed.